Hello, this is Gary Naylor. I'm coming to you today on Wednesday, the 24th of May. And I'm going to give you an update of something actually I saw just yesterday, and it really helped set me free and give me more insight concerning what it appears that Yahweh the Father is doing. And I hope I am made adequate to present these things to you. It's very intimidating to sit down at a mic and just talk. And you know you have a lot to say, but how does it unfold? Well, I pray that it will unfold according to the order of Yahweh and fulfill His intended purpose. I'm going to be speaking with you about the days before us. And what we're talking about is the fulfillment of this matter of a double portion delayed Passover, which, again, this is May 24th, so this double portion delayed Passover began today. And it's going to carry us for about 2 weeks, just a day over 2 weeks. And right in the middle of it is going to be a Tabernacles Pentecost on May 31. And then finally, on June 7, we see the conclusion of the second portion of the delayed Passover. Now, of course, this is the double portion delayed Passover that Hezekiah held, which is, of course, most significant. He is the one to whom the promise of life was given on the third day, which is the same thing with Esther. They fasted, and on the third day she went before the king and received his blessings, which resulted in a double portion wine banquet. This is what we have to have. We have to have our second wine banquet in which Satan Haman is revealed. But in both of these, we're talking about the third day, and that's where we are in the timing of God. In fact, the things that we've seen would not even be possible and have not been possible for 2 days or 2,000 years. So it is our sincere hope that what we are seeing is because it is a third day and it is the day in which He lifts us up, as the scriptures declare. On the third day, He lifts us up that we may stand before Him. So, before we proceed, let's take a quick look at what has preceded this. We are in the month of May right now, but as you will recall, this is a 3-month intercession, March, April, and May. The significance of it is that March looked to the work and the ministry of the first remnant. April, oh boy, April, you know, did you know that Mary means bitter and that Mary, the mother of Yeshua, testified by her name that it would be a bitter thing? And then at the tomb, there were 3 Marys that went, 3 Marys of bitterness. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, if Yahweh doesn't cut these days short from 3 to 2, it will be 3,000 years of bitterness. 2 is enough. And we couldn't even stand a third one because it would be, my God, why have you forsaken us? And the month of April, oh boy, it was bitter all the way. Amazingly bitter. And you can go back and look at the previous 4 podcasts that deal with this if you're not familiar with it. But gratefully, April finally did come to a conclusion, and it was not until May 9 that all of this tragedy really found complete conclusion, in that Caleb got out of jail on May 9 for a rather innocuous offense. He didn't have a permit for Remnant Bride Church in Kenya. And he had 2 options, spend 2 months in prison or pay $2,400 which is an interesting number since that is two 12s, are the two pairs of apostles, the two 12s, 24 elders around the throne. So, intercessorily, we paid the price for the 24 elders, and that produced Caleb's deliverance. Caleb and the others were most glad that April was over. And it didn't take him long. 4 days later, he was on his way to start teaching again. He was most glad. They got in the car and headed for Namibia. Now, Namibia is southwest of Kenya. In fact, the southern part of Namibia is one of the western borders of South Africa, so you'll know how far it is. It's way down southwest in Africa. And he was supposed to go to the capital there, a place called Windhoek, W-I-N-D-H-O-E-K. And they were planning on having about 2,000 people there, and Caleb would be teaching them. Whereas in the month of April, he was spending most of his time trying to get out of trouble and bury the dead. But when he went to this first place, now in May, they were expecting 2,000 people? No. Before it was over, there was approaching 9,000, well over 8,000. And he was there for, I think, at least 3 days, maybe even four, teaching these people. And boy, was he encouraged and hopeful with it. Again, it was good to get out of April. He had a wonderful time there. From there, he went north, still in Namibia. And again, they were expecting about 2,000 pastors and bishops. But that number swelled all the way up into 9,000-something. And they were hungry to hear the word of God. Some of them had traveled for 3 days to get there, and they were waiting for Caleb. And they didn't have enough money to feed them all. Bride did provide some funds so that they could eat, not only spiritually, but naturally as well. And they slept on concrete. Some of them slept out on the grass. They were hungry to hear the word of God and what is taking place in the kingdom of God. And Caleb is the kind of man that instead of sleeping in the car, which would have been more comfortable, he joined them and slept on the concrete. But there was great hope and great delight in seeing what Yahweh is doing. They embraced it wholeheartedly. I talked to one of the bishops, and oh, he was thrilled. So excited about what Yahweh was doing. And after that teaching, he went south, somewhere else in Namibia. And they were expecting a little over 200, maybe 250, 280, I can't remember. But did they get 200, 280? No. They were well over 4,000. That came to the meeting as well, and that's where he is right now as I share this with you. Folks, look at the contrast between this work in May and what took place in April. There is night and day difference. If you want to know what the latter rain's going to be like, there's your graphic example. Was March good? Yeah, March was nice. But nothing like May. People's hearts thrill and delight in what they're learning concerning the kingdom of God. This is Christians and Muslims alike. I got an email from Abdi today. He's wanting to go to Eritrea and teach Muslims and Christians as well. And he used to be a Muslim himself. I talked to one sheikh in the capital city, and he told me he was Sheikh so-and-so and so-and-so. And I said, Sheikh so-and-so, it's good to talk with you. It's good to meet you. He said, no, I am not a sheikh anymore. I am a bride. I am bride. That's the transformation that is taking place in Africa. It is profound. It is phenomenal. Those folks were so hungry spiritually, they would have been content to have never eaten anything while they were there. Gratefully, we could provide some funds for beans and rice, and they were delighted to have that. We spent $400 feeding them for 2-3 days. I ask you, how many Americans could you feed for 3 or 4 days with $400? They have a hunger for the Word of God like we don't have here in America, and a hunger for truth. And the reality is, we hope that that is getting ready to change, and that's the subject of this podcast, and the hope. So, let me repeat. March was a type of the first remnant. April was a type of Christianity, the body of Christ, which was a devastating, death-filled period. And in contrast to the other two, even, both of them, May is turning out wonderful. The teachings of the bride are not only going through Caleb, Walter's out teaching, Jacob was out teaching, Abdi's out teaching, and I'm sure there are many others as well. Those are the ones that I'm directly familiar with. So I ask, what is the hope? Or let me word it another way. What is the fulfillment of what we're seeing in the month of May thus far? Well, first, let me present what I was hoping for. And you might ask, what do you mean, what I was hoping for? I had a strange perspective of March, April, May. I had hoped that come May 21, which would mark the 10-day count to the 31st, the period of Hezekiah, you remember? He was dying, and the testimony that he would live would be that basically time would be turned backwards 10 steps. And so we went from 31 back to 21, which happened to be the birth date of my oldest daughter, Christy. And so my thoughts were, boy, we need a testimony. And I was looking at maybe a testimony in my family that my wife would turn to me. And we looked at the 21st and 22nd in the same pattern. That it would be like the first 1,000 years, the second 1,000 years, and the 23rd would find some wonderful fulfillment. And on the 23rd, I knew that nothing was going to happen. And it was really weighing on me. It was very discouraging. And you begin to wonder what was before you and how to handle the disappointment that seemed was inevitable. And it was right around noon. I was standing at the kitchen sink preparing lunch. And then all of a sudden, a thought just popped into my head. And I thought, Gary, why do you think that this is going to be fulfilled in relation to anything in your life when you haven't even experienced what happened in March or the terrible time of April? Gary, how much disaster happened to you in the month of April? Nothing. We provided finances for them. Yeah, we provided those. But there was no disaster or calamity. I wasn't walking through this intercession. Folks, primarily Caleb, his family, and those around him were passing through this intercession. and that included March as well. March and April, those testimonies were working out in their lives. And along comes May, and I think that hopefully Yahweh's going to do something in my life. If I didn't experience the calamity, what gives me the right to experience the fulfillment? And I realized that this is something that was specifically relevant to Africa. And that's what we're seeing, this type, this testimony. As now in May, they are experiencing wonderful blessings and fulfillment. Do you see what I'm saying? I think you do. It's rather obvious, isn't it? Now, for me anyway. Whereas before, I kept looking for a fulfillment in my own life. Maybe, you know, my family come home. But this intercession was taking place in Africa. Having said that, though, the reality is, and the Africans know this, Caleb, all of them know this. They believe that there's going to be a great work of God begin in Africa, and it will spread throughout the world. So March, April, May had to take place in Africa. But what will it lead to? That's the question. Let me suggest to you here that you look at the new millennial calendar as I talk about these things, because it's going to give you a visual identification with what I'm saying. But if you go to RemnantBride.com, and in the left portion of the website, it says featured messages. And down a short distance, it says the new millennial calendar, and underneath that, it says actual calendars. It will open up another tab. And the last calendar says 2016 new millennial calendar, and you'll want to click on it. And when you do that, you will scroll down to the 8th month. So what I'm going to be talking about is in the 8th month of that calendar, and this would be for 2017, of course. And the fact is, everything I've said thus far in this podcast is to bring us to this point. This is why I wanted to have this podcast. Everything else was preparatory to get us to this. No, my hope is not in a fulfillment. Directly, according to this calendar, with myself or any other part of the bride that's throughout the world. Right now, March, April, May have been relative to Africa. But I do believe there is a tie, and we're going to see that here. Let's begin with today as I'm recording this podcast. Today is May 24. If you're looking at that calendar, that date is in the bottom right corner of the delayed Passover, which is the Hebrew date of the 14th, the 14th day of the 8th month. Underneath there, you'll see May 24. And you will notice it says delayed Passover. This would be a double portion delayed Passover beginning on May 24. Now keep in mind, the only person who ever fulfilled a delayed Passover was Hezekiah. And the reason one could have a delayed Passover was, one, they'd been among the dead, or two, they'd been on a long journey. Folks, we've been among the dead for 2,000 years. That is a long journey among the dead. And it is today that we hope for this fulfillment of this double portion delayed Passover. Now, by way of further explanation, you go into unleavened bread, because Passover is the day of Passover, and then you have 7 days of unleavened bread. So as we look at this, you'll see May 25, through May 31 are the 7 days of unleavened bread. Now, what you see on that seventh day of May 31 is a yellow box that's just packed with text. Let me decipher it for you. The first one says unleavened bread. Now, that's the Feast of Passover. Unleavened bread, again, is a part of the Feast of Passover. You'll see a slash there. Then it says Tabernacles Pentecost 3 times 49 plus 1. Now, you can look at this and study it more if you go to rentitbride.com and just do a search for Tabernacles Pentecost, because I can't explain it to you right now. But you will see there is a Tabernacles Pentecost on May 31. Now, I will say this about Tabernacles Pentecost. The former rain came by a Passover Pentecost. Yeshua was crucified on Passover. You start counting the next days. You count 49 days. And on the 50th is Pentecost. That's when the former rain came. And on a Passover Pentecost, there are two loaves of leavened bread. Well, why were there two loaves of leavened bread? It's because there were going to be 2,000 years of leavened wheat Christianity. It's not the barley work. The barley work is unleavened. But you leaven the wheat work. And we've had 2,000 years of wheat work. And so we don't need a Passover Pentecost. That's been fulfilled. And look what we've gotten out of it. What we need is a Tabernacles Pentecost. And that's what this is talking about. We have to have the latter rain through a different feast day. In the past, I've thought that we needed a Passover Pentecost, and I realized, impossible. That one's already been fulfilled. And when we calculated for this year, when a Tabernacles Pentecost would occur, and we're talking about 349s, and you can study that online, it took us to May 31. So now, we've got two feasts taking place on the same day. You have unleavened bread for a delayed Passover, and that would be on the seventh day, and you have a Tabernacles Pentecost. But you will notice there's another slash, and it says Jewish Pentecost, and what that is for the Jews, this happens to be the very day for Jews today to have their regular Pentecost. So you got three feasts on one day. All merge there. Now, May 31 is that date. What does that tell us? It tells us that that's the end of this intercession. And I'm only concluding this. Time is going to tell. But the reality is, when May 31 is completed, the intercession in Africa ends. So you say, Gary, so what does that mean? Well, I ask you, do the feast days end? No, do they? If you're looking at that calendar, you go, hold it. June 1, Hezekiah's double unleavened bread, still going, marching right along. Because, see, they held a seven-day feast and they enjoyed it so much that they decided to have another 7 days. Folks, there is no place in the scriptures that affords a double portion delayed Passover. They did something new. It wasn't even in the law. That's what we have to have today. We have to have a double portion of the Spirit. So they held another 7 days, and so those march out now, going June 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. June 7. So what might be significant about June? Well, that is the month in which the Spirit came upon me in 1994, and began to teach me these things concerning the bride. That's when Yahweh began to speak with me concerning what is the kingdom of heaven. And before I detail that, I think it's worthy to point out that on June 6, that was my anniversary of my marriage to my wife-to-be, the bride. June 6, 1969 is when I married my bride. And of course, here we are at the 69th year in my life, looking to Yahweh to provide a bride for Emmanuel. So June 6 is a very important date to me. June 7. And on June 11 of 1994, I was standing at the island, the service island in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, I spoke to the folks what I was seeing. And I stood at one end and I said, what God did at the beginning of the church. And I walked down to the other end of that island and it stopped. And I said, he will do again in the end. I knew what that was. As a former rain and latter rain. 1 week later, on June 18, I was going home and I asked Yahweh a question. I don't understand. If Adam is the glory of God, the glory and image of God, and the woman is the glory of the man, why didn't you give long hair to the man? Because hair is glory, and if the man is the glory and image of God, why didn't he get the long hair? And Yahweh spoke to me. He said, because I will not give my glory to the masculine body of Christ, but I will give it to the feminine bride. The next day, June 19, I began to have revelation that was far beyond the natural. I could ask Yahweh anything, and he would answer it. He would tell me the answer. And it was an incredible, incredible time. But it had to breach. We left the ranch that we had established for the care of women and children. We moved to Washington State, and I've been hungering and thirsting for the latter rain ever since. And here we are, 23 years later, hoping for Yahweh to do something today. We see that the intercession in Africa carries us to May 31 when we are looking at this incredible collection of three different feasts. And then there are seven more days that enter into June. Here's my hope. Africa has been interceding for Caleb, everybody about him, and other people, and all of those who are responding. There's been an intercession for the first remnant, the body of Christ, and the second remnant. That intercession would end on May 31. But you see, it's got a trailer that goes right into June. And we're looking at up to June 7. Here's my hope. I hope that that is a tie to Africa and what has happened there, not only for the intercession of 3 months, but for the intercession for a year and a half. You see, at the end of May, it marks the completion of a year and a half, which is the ministry period of the first remnant. They were a work that lasted 1.5 years. It appears that the Africa work is a type today of the first remnant, but we have to have the repairing of the breach and no break between the two remnants. In other words, joining the two remnants together. And this incredibly ties that year and a half work to us. Do you see that? these other 7 days tie into June, into the very month in which the Spirit came upon me in 1994. Brothers and sisters, the last 24 years for me have been hell. It has been so bad that there was an occasion in which I said to Yeshua, 3 hours on the cross look pretty inviting to me right now. To have my sorrows over in 3 hours. And that's not to diminish what Yeshua did. They've been difficult. I had a neighbor lady came to me and she said, I found the scripture that reveals you. And I said, what's that? It's in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. That chapter ends with this statement. In much wisdom, there is much grief. And increasing knowledge results in increasing pain. I am personally hopeful that this breach is finished in my life, this 23-year-long breach. And I'm hopeful that we're going to see the beginning of the fulfillment now on the other side of this 3-month-long intercession that has been paid in Africa, which in full length is a year and a half. So you can see there could be the repairing of the breach. And hopefully, legally, according to the law, according to intercession, we can now begin to experience the fullness of the second remnant work. The year and a half in Africa should be a type of what we should experience in other parts of this world where people can finally see and understand. Now, what has to happen? Number one, Satan has to be bound in a sense. And the greatest testimony of this seems to be Mordecai. Haman had every intention of killing Mordecai on the 50 cubits tall gallows for him to be hanged. But his destiny with death was cut short, and Haman, Satan, had to lift up the Mordecai. What I'm hoping is that Yahweh God is going to legally bind Satan so that he cannot blind people. And people will finally see what Yahweh God is truly doing, just like they do in mass in Africa. Folks, what has happened in Africa for a year and a half needs to happen throughout the world. Someone asked me today in a phone conversation with them. They said, well, how many people will be a part of the bride? You know, they were thinking, you know, a few thousand. And I said, no. The scriptures indicate that they'll be from every tongue, tribe, nation, and peoples. That you can't even count them. We haven't seen anything near that for these 23 years. But we get an inclination of it when we look at what's happening in Africa, because how many have been taught in Africa with excitement? What, 300,000? That's quite a sizable group, wouldn't you say so? All across the continent, it could be more than that by the time you multiply people who tell people who tell people. What we need is the fulfillment of what we see in Africa and what we see in Africa in the month of May. And I pray that this link that we see with May 31, where that double portion, unleavened bread, Passover, continues right into June, and I pray that it is a link that allows us to begin to experience what they are experiencing in Africa as they have paid a price. You look at just the month of April, look at the price that Caleb and those around him paid. It is my hope, and I can't tell you what's going to happen. I hope there's a beginning of a latter rain on the 31st, but that's to be seen. I hope that Yahweh is transitioning us into this latter rain work that establishes a bride throughout the world, preparing the way for Emmanuel, and catches us up into heaven. We enter into an immortal, incorruptible body. And after 15 days, we come back to earth and rule and reign with him on this earth. And I emphasize again, I hope that it's this double portion, delayed Passover, that is affording us a link that will give us what we need and what I have desired for 23 years. You might recall from the podcast dated October 31, 2016, 23-23-23 conclusion, I addressed in there how Yahweh comes in the middle and he changes his mind. I gave four examples, but let's just talk about three of them. You're probably familiar with them. In John chapter 7, Yeshua said, I'm not going to go into the feast. You go ahead and go. I'm not going. In fact, he even said, my time has not yet fully come. But he did, in fact, go in the middle, and he began to reveal himself and teach in the middle. The second middle that we looked at is in 2 Kings chapter 20. And here again, this is Hezekiah. And Isaiah told Hezekiah, you're going to die. Get your house in order. But when he got to the middle of the court, when he got to the middle court, Yahweh told him to go back in and tell him, I will give you 15 years. And he said, you will go to the house of Yahweh on the third day. Folks, that's where we are now, the third day. And that's what we need to do is go to the house of Yahweh, be transformed into bodies that are immortal, incorruptible, that are born from above. And then the third testimony is from Mark chapter 6. After feeding the 5,000, the disciples got in a boat and went across the sea. And then, as you know, the waters began to be turbulent. Their life was at risk. And it says that Yeshua intended to pass them by. But in the middle of the sea, he went ahead and got in the boat with them. Again, he changed his mind. He was not going to get in the boat. He got in the boat with them. So here we see yet one more testimony of in the middle. Right in the middle of this double portion, delayed Passover, we find a Tabernacles Pentecost on May 31. I pray that Yahweh changes his mind on May 31, 2017. And he gives us life instead of death. That he gets into the boat with us as Peter was drowning as he tried to step out on the water. I pray that he comes in the middle of Tabernacles. Obviously, this isn't Tabernacles, but this is a Tabernacles Pentecost. And here changes his mind. So that on the eighth day of Tabernacles in heaven, we enter into an immortal, incorruptible body, and rivers of living water come out of us. So, we don't have very many days before May 31. Can't promise what's going to happen, but I can give you hope that this could be a turning point for all of mankind. I hope the very best for us. And I hope Yahweh God does good for us and not affect adversity any longer. I hope we see the goodness of God and may he change his mind. And from May 31 into June, may it be the fulfillment of what I saw 23 years ago. And may Yahweh pick up where he left off 23 years ago and fulfill the hope that I had then. I told my children, you see, I knew this work would change the world. And I told my children, it didn't come to pass, but there's a breach. I said, you see that driveway? It was about a quarter of a mile long driveway, something like that, maybe 200 yards. I don't know. I said, you see that driveway? Kings, I said, kings will come down that driveway to hear what Yahweh is showing me. I knew this was profound. It shook me like an earthquake. And that's exactly what needs to happen today. There needs to be an earthquake that shakes the earth. An earthquake has happened in Africa, but it needs to spread throughout the world. That's what we need. Anything less is inadequate and will only perpetuate death and loss and corruption. What we need is the fulfillment. And we look to our Father to fulfill these things, these testimonies, these works that we have seen. In the name of His Son, Yeshua. Amen.